welcome to another episode of Three Wise DMs, the podcast where three dungeon masters who've been doing this for way too long talk about all the things we do to try to make our games as good as they can be.
Hi, I'm Tony.
I'm Chris.
Well, now what can a poor boy do? Set to sing for a rock and roll band. Cause in sleepy London town, there's just no place for a street fighting man. No. Yeah, everybody's gonna have that one. Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Three Wise DMs. This is the Rock and Roll DM, DM Dave, singing none other than the Rolling Stones, Street Fighting Man. I mean, they are the house band for the world of rock and roll. They're the greatest house band in history, the greatest bar band in history. The end. Sorry, deal with it. I think I'm still more of a Beatles fan, but I really respect the Stones for, like, the whole shtick and stuff and the longevity. And I'm just starting to go down a rabbit hole here.
And then there's but a we could go down a big Elvis, rabbit hole.
That's
especially
a huge rabbit hole.
The Beatles were actually the rougher of the two.
Ages. Oh, they were
the Stones
terrible.
Were art students that wanted to look rougher. While the
oh,
Beatles
yeah,
actually
the
grew
Beatles
up in Liverpool and stuff like that.
They
yeah.
have, if you read up about like their tours through Hamburg and stuff, dude, it reads like Led Zeppelin, dude. It's awful. Like, they were fucking terrible. Like, oh my God, it was. Anyway, so welcome back, everyone. So as you guys know, we have a growing series here where we are really building out this crowdsourced campaign setting of Boomtown that we have, our Weird West sci-fi meets D&D thing, where magic and technology are being rediscovered in the world. And we have built out a lot of stuff. Last episode, we were just talking about finally that shadowy conglomerate. We're getting you guys all your thoughts on what's happening. But we thought what would be fun, and this is going to be a like the rest of this series, this is going to be a bit of an experiment, because what we're going to do is we are going to build a Street Fighting Man. So we're going to take the classic Fighting Man class from D&D. People like the Wizard Washburn will understand that, because that's what it was called back in the day. It was the Fighting Man. Yeah, no. But we're going to try to build a fighter. We're going to start at level 1, and we're going to maybe take it up through level 3, because that's where a lot of class features. Obviously, we're going to be using 5e as the foundation of this. As we said, this system could easily become very system agnostic, but all of you are very familiar with 5e. We are very familiar with 5e. So that's just what we're going to use for ease of conversation here. So so don't worry, you can put it in your Pulp Cthulhu one too. It's totally workable. But anyway, I'm going to stop talking here, and we're going to start building a fighting man. And I'm just going to start it off by, like, I'm going to make you guys start thinking about, what's this person's name?
You know, with all my notes, I had not taken that.
You never came up with a name.
I mean,
I'm thinking
Roland,
like,
from
really
the Gunslinger.
Old.
There's a name. There
oh,
you go. Roland.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We have to do it now. I was thinking like old biblical, like Jedediah or something, you know. But
I see a guy with a 5-foot beard in my mind.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's Roland. It's Roland. We're building Roland Deschene. Yeah, sorry. Stephen King, go ahead, send us a cease and desist. That will get we'll get a ton of traffic on our website. Please.
That would be pretty good. All right, so beyond a name, where are we starting with this? Equipment, proficiencies?
I think what'll be fun, because I think, Chris, I think you have a lot of D6s sitting right by your station there. Probably all from a fan roll dice, too, which you could go to our affiliate link at fanrolldice.com/RES/2871. Enter the code 3WiseDMs10. Let's roll out some stats on this guy. Let's just do our normal, like, what we would do. I say let's roll out some 46, drop the lowest, and then let's put it where we think this gunslinger, where it might be for Roland Deschene.
You don't want an array? Just for reasons of sanity?
Oh, all right. Okay. All right. Yeah. We could do an array,
Roland?
Too. I don't know. I love rolling it.
It started off pretty good. Not great, but pretty good.
Okay, yeah. Like, throw it out, Chris. Let's do we're gonna
do six. I got the first one, it's a 14.
All right. Okay. Good. What we got next?
Okay, 13.
Ooh.
Okay.
It's only a 10 there.
That's all right. You need, to have some average stats.
This one is better. That'll be another 14.
Okay. All right.
Oh, that's an 11.
Mm-hmm.
But how many? What are we at there?
And one more. We need one more.
One more.
Yep.
That's 11. It's not too bad.
That's all right. He's got 2 14s. That's actually starting better. I'll take that over just 115 myself, but that's me.
Okay.
All right. So, Tony, like, what are we thinking? Like, well, so we have these stats, but I mean, we were talking precast. The biggest difference with a fighter in this world is guns, right? So let's delve into that a little bit in terms of like what stats are going to be more important for a gunslinger.
So it's going to obviously be dex. And when I kind of had this in my head, I figured that let's go with their saving throws, their proficiency being strength and dex. I'd like to put it in con and dex. That feels like it's cheating a little bit because it's a little too good. Just keeping it consistent. Because we talked about the environment, we are in this arid desert-like place. So you're not going to see any really full plate. You're not going to see any medium class armor. So dex is going to be extremely valuable.
Yeah, that's a good call, Tone, because then that's going to really change like AC stuff. Yeah, good.
Like there was nobody in Chris's campaign in the jungles of Cholt wearing full plate, regrettably. They would have made it like maybe a mile into the jungle and died of a heat stroke.
I mean, you can. You're going to have to make some rolls that could put you in a bit of a level of exhaustion.
Constant exhaustion rolls.
Every turn.
You know, all right, so I like that. You know. So we're changing up. So we got our normal hit dice. We have our saving throws swapping out. But what about maybe dex and con instead of dex and strength?
Well, I had dex and con just from a thing. I don't know, like the fighter themselves, right? You're going to have other classes, so the saving throws aren't necessarily always going to be that most optimum for that particular thing there. But I think to the point is that you're going to have to be wily and be able to survive, right? You're going to be able to have to get around. But I think that's mutable there. But I think other things too, you guys are talking about, like obviously firearms is a proficiency, right? So where you're normally getting simple weapons or martial weapons, this class is going to have that, the firearms proficiency. And then as well, stuff like the vehicle land proficiencies, as far as if you're living in an environment like this, you're going to need to be able to ride a horse, operate a carriage, a cart, those kind of things, that it would be something you would naturally get. Whether you get a choice of it, right? Sometimes you could maybe make it part of the skills, or it could be the tools that you get just right out of the bag.
So this basic character would have, because this person, Roland, is a warrior. He's a Boomtown edition gunslinger. He's going to have firearm skills in general.
We talked about having like a firearm proficiency, obviously, because of the setting. If you choose fighter, though, I'm thinking like that's all included in the simple weapons, martial weapon, like it's include, like you just have it, right? You don't have to get additional.
I think it would be listed in there with your weapons, right? You'd have simple weapons, martial weapons, firearms, and stuff like that.
Right.
Because would be somewhat different than a martial weapon. Additional. Yeah, they're like the martial weapon, you know.
Yeah, maybe Roland can't use a broadsword, but he certainly can use a shotgun, for example. Or maybe he can, but I'm just throwing that would definitely be part of the package. In terms of armor, I'm thinking maybe a duster, something classic like that. But that's generally like leather, studded leather, or maybe the highest grades of armor. Typically, you're going to run across. In terms of
I'm going to piggyback. I apologize. That really adds to your idea though too, where like we don't have armor and stuff in this world. Well, I mean you could. But in a Western, a dude's not rolling in with chainmail. So yeah. Dusters and stuff like that, that really adds to the push for discovering the tech and the magic and stuff like that to be able to armor yourself. Like your duster becomes enchanted. Your duster becomes, right? It has, you start out really low with your AC, but you can build that out, you know. So go ahead.
But that raises the question then. So do you just not have medium and heavy armor proficiencies then? because in that case, there would be no such thing as medium or heavy armor. Or if you were to be able to enhance things later, would you want to leave those in there?
Yeah, probably not heavy, but medium might. We could probably skin some things that might give like a medium level, possibly, right? But yeah, like heavy, like you're not going to, there's no knights rolling with full plate in this setting, generally speaking, at least in the boomtowns.
Roland was a different kind of knight, but we'll get sued for that. Please, Stephen King, don't send us any legal
send
things
us
for that.
It. Send it.
But yeah, you'd start with, we're talking like standard starting character pack. So what is Roland going to have? He's going to have a basic weapon of his choice, a revolver, pistol, rifle, shotgun, the leather duster. And then I was going to throw something out here as an idea, the frontier pack. I figure it would cost about 12 gold. I don't know. Is that what we're using?
We talked that it was going to mainly be gold, silver, copper.
Silver, yeah, dollars. Yeah, we can get that around, of course.
Silver pennies. Yeah, whatever. Right. Two bits. Yeah.
It's either like a backpack or a saddlebag. It's going to have like a bedroll, mess kit, tinder box, canteen, a lantern, lamp oil, hardtack, hemp rope, and an ammo pouch. I figure that's something...
Yeah, that's awesome. And you didn't have to reskin much, and it really creates that kind of Western flavor to it. Okay, so right now, Chris, you have Roland's sheet open right now. So let's put, now that we have a sense of like what does a fighter kind of look like, let's put his stats out there. So obviously, I'm thinking we're taking both 14s and putting them in at least Dex, and then I'm thinking Con.
Yeah, it's
just because this is a hard world, and we're gonna get into that when we really get into dusters and guns in a little bit here. But I'm thinking Dex and Con will be 14s to start.
Mm-hmm.
I would the 13 in strength maybe. I mean, unless he's actually rolling to Shane, and then he should have some either wisdom or charisma, one of the two. You know, so who's Roland? You know.
So we got. So what do we got here? So we've got 14 in. Dex and Con, right? That's what we're going with here.
Mm-hmm.
14. That leaves a bunch of 10s and 11s.
Yeah, so we got a 13, two 11s, and a 10. I'm okay with however you guys want to throw that.
I mean, he's a fighter, you feel like he'd have to have, you'd want to put it in strength, right?
Your classic, but, you know. Right? It just, yeah. So I say throw the 13 in strength, and then 11 wisdom, 11 charisma, 10 intelligence.
Yes.
Even though I really want to do something to make intelligence matter again in this world, but we'll get into that in later episodes.
Wisdom
hopefully.
Could be the same as intelligence.
Yeah. All right. And for me, I think we could take the classic, like the kind of the general rule, and we can raise one by two and one by one.
Well, I mean, do you want to, is how do you want to, like, from a species thing here, obviously we're building a class here, but Roland himself, is he just good a regular point. Human? Yeah. Variant human?
I think that's cool in the sense that, like, we could, I mean, we were talking about possibly adding, like, specific gunslinger feats. So if he was a variant, then you could take, like, the feat and then, like, some of the ASI. But I don't know. What do you guys think?
For the simple walkout, he could do that or plus one in all the stats. I mean, that would bump his charisma and wisdom up to 12s and get some bonuses in there, but that wouldn't really help him with his deck. So maybe if he did two and one, okay, 16 decks.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's pretty solid. And then if we bump up his con too, then it gives him a 16 in con and dex then. And that's pretty solid. He can at least maybe last the first adventure if he can dodge enough bullets, you know. So obviously we're going to be 16 in dex, 16 in con, and then we got that 13 strength, 11 wisdom, 11 charisma, and 10 intelligence. And then obviously, like Tony, you were saying, we're going to do our saving throws. Will be dex and con or strength?
I mean, if you're fitting it to the model that 5e is traditionally used, you usually have the cool thing like dex, wisdom, or con, or and then you get something like, and charisma in case a ghost tries to possess you or something super helpful, right? Or someone tries to banish you, which could come up any single game. So, I don't know. I think Dex and Con is definitely cooler. Like, if it's me playing this character, I'm not turning my nose up at it.
All right. So, let's put his I'm going to keep my, Chris, you have yours. I'm going to keep mine going here too, just so we can keep ourselves honest.
And doubly, if we're making leather armor, the armor of the day, Dex becomes
much more important.
Yeah.
Much more important. Yes. Yeah. And just as a note, guys, I mean, for the listeners out there, like, we were probably going to get into it as we get his equipment and stuff. But like, Tony, you were saying, like, a revolver, let's say, does like maybe like 2d8, 2d6 damage. 2D8. One shot on that at level one, I mean, this is going to start out as a very deadly world. So it's going to make magic and finding this stuff very like basic D&D very important, because that's what's really going to be able to help build you to be able to withstand this stuff. But all right, so the strength, our saving throw is at a plus one. Our dex will be at a plus, that'll be a four plus two. So that'll be a plus six. A plus six con, nothing on intelligence, nothing on wisdom, nothing on charisma in terms of bonuses. So that's solid though, because he is exceedingly dexterous, and obviously we're building this as a 5e, so it's going to be like that proficiency bonus for now. Sure. I don't think we have to necessarily, unless you guys want to talk about some skills. Like, I'm looking through the list here, and there's really nothing that bothers me about it. I mean, I think they made a list that can fit into almost any setting, right? Whether it's futuristic, Wild West, or medieval times, right? Is there anything on there that makes you think, like, Chris, especially with like Lord of the Rings and stuff, they threw in a couple different or extra skills?
I mean, if we wanted to make travel and hunting and stuff different versus using survival as a catch-all, that's kind of what they did a little bit there, was make them a little bit more tactical. But I mean, in many ways, everyone's going to have survival in this town. Survival is going to be a skill probably for most of the people in this
you're
area.
You don't live here unless you have some level but of you're survival
need to,
skills.
Yeah, you're going to be able to need to do some of these things to be able to do that. So I think, but we could take the idea of having a travel and a hunting sort of skill where you take that and you could have players that are more trackers versus players that are more, hunters.
I'm down with that if you want. My only amendment to that list I want to propose is, let's maybe scratch history out, because the history of this world is very out of the air, and replace it with something they did in 4E called Streetwise. And that would, like, for example, if I came across some wasteland tech I want to unload, I can make a check and then, like, I know who to go talk to. Or if you have a problem in town, maybe I could use the Streetwise skill and we can figure out where do we need to go. This person lives, he lives around there.
I like that.
Well, identify, like, right? You wouldn't necessarily have wizards walking around casting identify, but you would need someone in your party maybe that would have the skills to be able to, when they find something that is, then be able to quickly discern what it is, what it does, that kind of thing. That in itself could be a skill that is, you know, something that you'd have, because some people aren't going to know what they're finding, but there would have to be somebody around that would have to know. Maybe that's more intelligence based, but that would be a good replacement.
The streetwise. Well, Chris, I think like with like Arcana, like that could be like a tech skill, that's right? Cool. Like, because it's magic, it's Arcana. Because again, if you're finding a lot of magic, it's going to be tech based, but some people are going to be warped by it and things like that. And that's a little different. Just as a point of order, though, I screwed that up because the 16s are just giving us a plus three. So those two saves are actually at plus fives right now. So still solid, but just throwing that out there. And his armor class currently is a whopping 13, just basically, and a plus three to initiative. So. All right, so like, let's say maybe like we're gonna swap out. Let's say Arcana becomes tech, maybe. I like that. And then Tony, you were saying the instead of history, because this world is like kind of it's small, right? So there's not a lot of like outside of what you know of the conglomerate or whoever they are. That's it, right? Like, and you're gonna discover the history and lore of this world in a way, yeah.
Right. We don't want the players expounding the history of the world. It's not like D&D where it's rich and it's been out there and you want to use that as a plot device. You want to go out there and have them find it.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. So we got tech, we got streetwise, Everything else in my mind kind of fits, you know, investigation, medicine, nature, definitely.
Right.
Religion definitely does too, because as we talked about last episode, like religion is going to factor in heavily in multiple ways. You're going to have like the state stuff plus all of this like stuff that's out in the wastelands coming out. So, all right. Okay. I'm gonna enter in his skill list for Roland here. So if you guys want to like let's continue on in terms of like maybe like what skills would a fighter in this world, Roland, what can he choose from, right? From the, and we can go off the initial list, and then you guys let's change it around maybe.
Well, I traditionally am always taking either acrobatics or athletics. Every one of my characters has one of those. And of course, you know, I did not come to this table prepared with a background to fill into this. We can, but just at the moment I don't. I mean, but if I had to take two off of this list, with my dexterity being my high stat, I'm feeling, see, everybody's got survival and I would want that, but yeah, it's gotta be like survival and acrobatics, I would say.
He's got a crap ton of zeros in this skill list currently. So, I mean, obviously, like, one of the
choices perception.
Yeah, perception, survival, mm-hmm. definitely as a gunslinger, right?
Mm-hmm. And that, or also, to some level, either insight or intimidation, right? Like, that he would have to be either, I mean, I guess it's sort of like that streetwise idea, or, right, you're a gunslinger, you're going to have to be able to, you know, chances are you're not persuading people. You're probably, you know, using your revolver to solve disputes.
Right.
Also, I like the idea, too, like with things like stealth or sleight of hand as well, because like gunslingers, so it's not your classic fighting man, your fighter is this strength-based person. He's got a broadsword, he's got a shield, he's a knight, right? That type of thing. But with the gunslinger, Tony, you said they're wily, that you've got to think your way through these battles because any one shot could be the end of you. So you're going to be a little more wily and things like that, which makes me now think, like, is that one of the ways we can make intelligence and wisdom kind of really shine? In that, like, you're smarter than the other. You're fast hands, but you're smarter than them, too.
Well, I mean, we're talking mechanically or in terms of the role play.
I mean, having stealth available in the skill list for our Boomtown fighter doesn't thing. I mean, it's not going to give them any extra advantage it's not going to steal any of the rogue's inherent advantage because they get other things related to
Yeah,
and
no.
It does make some sense that you'd want to be, I guess if there's like, if everything can kill me and I could, the only thing I can wear is leather armor, I'm going to want to like step lightly and probably stay in the shadows a lot of the time. So
I don't want to think about a rogue hitting somebody with their sneak attack with a revolver because that's going to be gruesome.
Yes.
Or yeah, shotgun.
I'm thinking like I had thrown out to you guys the like those archetypes of like Wild West people, like the gunslinger, the knife fighter, the pugilist. And I'm thinking like knife fighter, like that's like I just see that as like the rogue, like they're coming in, you know, like Chavez from Young Guns, right? You know, throwing out a dagger at somebody. Anyway, that's for later, but. But yeah, I mean, regardless, I think that so what skills should the fighter kind of be able to choose from? I think a lot of it is similar. I mean, your acrobatics or athletics, definitely. Animal handling, absolutely, because you're going to be riding horses. And some people were just better, especially if they're shooting off horses, right? History, that's the tech one. That's a maybe, right? And I think that's one of those possibles. Chris, you said insight intimidation. Yeah, absolutely. Perception and survival. Yeah. So the only ones that make me go, is the tech one.
I mean, we've swapped that out with stealth. So instead of something like history, we put that there. So you can, you know, it's the same list, but with just stealth instead of history.
And
so you solve that
we
issue.
We swapped that. Yeah.
And you
yeah.
give them the ability to be a little bit more of a, you know, frontiersman than a true on like knight.
Tony, what do you think?
Well, I thought we were swapping Arcana out for tech.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, Arcana is tech, right? History is the streetwise one. That's right. I'm sorry. So, no, that actually works really well for the fighter, too. So we could always just throw in either. I don't know. That's a good question. What do you guys think?
I mean, for this basic build, if we're talking like acrobatics, animal handling, survival, and maybe perception, that's a solid four.
Yeah, so two out of those, what do we think for Roland? Because we're just, like, right now we're just sticking with our, like, your classic PHB, what it's kind of leading us through here. So two out of this list, what ones really scream for you guys?
So, like, I mean, I'm looking like acrobatics and survival or something like that, or acrobatics and perception, even though his wisdom isn't great, that those are consistent with what he might be doing out there.
It gives at least the possibility of him having some kind of skill in, like, tracking, you know?
Right. It's difficult for us to, like, I don't need to tell all the DMs that when you're conceptualizing a character on paper, you know, what actually matters when it hits you hit the round going, that's completely different. So, I mean, in this moment, the best prepare them that we can, like acro and perception or survival. I mean, there's not really wrong answers. It's not like dumb picks that you have there.
All right. So we'll say acrobatics and perception.
Sure.
You want to do? Because he's a perceptive guy. But yeah, I think that list is nice because, as Tony, you said, the history, we can do that streetwise one, which I really like. It just opens up. I think you can do a streetwise role a lot easier than history roles sometimes, right? It kind of changes how that mechanically works. All right, like the next thing we were going for here would be your equipment. So obviously you go through that Frontiers pack again, and let's see where we're at with his 13 hit points.
Well, I mean, that the Frontiers pack that I kind of just pitched out there would be kind of like part of the general, you know, package the character gets. So like a Frontier pack, a leather duster that probably would count as studded leather armor, and then a firearm of your choice, and then X amount of rounds. And I think one of the bigger differences in this game we're going to feel is when Selenius is in Chris's Lord of the Rings game, he's a nice guy and lets me retrieve arrows, okay? I'm not retrieving bullets.
No, I think definitely ammunition has to be it's much different. Yes, I'd be a little bit lax with that. But no, I agree. I think if you go off with the basic starting equipment for a fighter, right, we're saying leather armor, so there's your leather duster. You got a choice between maybe two revolvers or a rifle or something like that, right? With it to kind of make up for like a light crossbow or two martial weapons, that kind of stuff. And then I really like Tony's Frontier pack. You know, you could leverage the same kind of idea with maybe the Explorer's pack and have stuff that's a little bit unique. But I think that one really captures the kind of stuff that you would need in this environment as a good the one that kind of takes care of all the extra equipment that you see. You don't have to constantly list everything out there. I think that's a good starting point for him there. I mean, in Roland himself, what would he would be a revolver guy, or would he be a rifle guy?
Yeah, he'd have the well, he always had one gun, I think, right? But regardless, the gunny sack, that's your Frontier pack, too. So yeah, like you get your Frontier pack, you get your leather duster. Or some kind of leathers, and we could have some different things. But generally speaking, that's probably the best one because that's going to give him a 15 AC, which is okay. He's becoming a little more formidable now. And yeah, like I think a gun, two guns, a rifle. You know, do we have two weapon fighting? You know, I mean, how many shots are you getting out?
I mean, I think when we get to the fighting styles, I think that could be something, but not everyone would be able to handle apply
their bonuses
and to the offhand gun.
It's a lot of times you don't want to just allow that because you're like, well, I'm allowing extra attack all the time at level one. But what it does do, because we just talked about ammunition, you can unload both your revolvers. You now have two revolvers with two less bullets, right? So, like, you get stuff, but you have to, like, you're burning resources. You're never burning a resource with an extra attack with a sword, right? That's no resource. I just get it.
Right.
So I think that that's something you could do.
It doesn't drain in, like endurance points or anything. Like some games where it's wearing down, we don't mess with any of that stuff, generally speaking. And if you're a really hardcore DM, you want to break a sword on a one, you're just plain evil. But it's definitely happened to me.
Yeah,
I mean, but that's a good segue. Sorry, Dave, I'm stealing your word there. But it's the into the fighting styles there. So right, so obviously, like, right, you're gonna have the guns are the weapon of the day. There would be other things. People are going to have knives and other things that. Yeah. But you can take the basic list. You take archery. Archery becomes the, in essence, just gun like slinging. I'm really good at shooting a weapon versus the two-weapon fighting, where we could introduce the idea of if you're taking this, then you could fire two revolvers at the same time. Some of the other ones, even stuff like defense, the dueling one is kind of tough. Even though, unless you could somehow make that related to, like, the Old West, right? Like, the showdown or something, makes it difficult. Oh,
that's interesting. But how many times are you going to be in a straight-up high-end duel,
it would be very unselective, right? I mean, so you have that protection, maybe? Great weapon fighting would be difficult. But,
no,
I mean,
I'm thinking, real quick, archery is obviously your gunslinging, right? You're just really, really good with a revolver, right? And specifically with a revolver, because then your defense, I think that's nice, right? So you're just wilier. So it gives you the chance to not get shot with the one thing that will kill you in a round, right? Dueling, let's just say we take that away for right now. Great weapon fighting, that's the guy that's rolling out with the shotgun, the rifle, and you're good at putting that shot in. So any ones or twos, like, they're gone, right? Like, you can replace that with a rifle because it's a damage dealer, right? You're a big damage dealer. And then two-weapon fighting would be you can do revolvers, you know, but you are draining your ammunition. And then protection, I think you could do that too in the sense that, like, you're shooting at them. I'm cover fire. So you could possibly give some level of advantage to your allies, right?
You'd have to tweak the description. Maybe you must be wielding a firearm or something like that for protection. Just so something
instead
that
of
to
you must be wielding
indicate
a shield.
This,
yeah.
Have some something that allows you to be able to pose that.
So what I kind of threw out there for the fighter, this gunslinger, the Boomtown edition here, I wanted this character to commit to one type of firearm, kind of like, or a style like a fighter would, since we use it as our foundation. And what I came back with was, you know, your pistol, your revolver, your rifle, or your shotgun. You could, if you're nice, you could put pistol and revolver together. The point is, with that, I was going to say, you get to reroll any ones with that weapon.
And that's for a specific style, yes.
Yes, like as a first level, fight. like your first level character, you're creating this, you get this package, and you're a fighter, and this is what you get. Like, for example, where William de Grey had dueling, we were talking about, he had his longsword at level one. Yeah, well, now if William de Grey happened to be a gunslinger, and Roland's a gunslinger, well, he's committing to pistols or revolvers, and he can reroll any ones on damage.
Because you're a specialist with the weapon, with that specific one. But it's specific to this is the weapon that you decide. I'm a rifleman, I'm a revolver guy, whatever. I like that.
Something like with the great weapon fighting, and make it so that you have to choose the weapon that you have to do it with, and then just get it on it. You can reroll ones and twos, you know.
Yeah, and that would be like that would be specifically like you're taking that. Because it's like, even with the great weapon fighting classically, it's any melee weapon that you're doing with two hands. So my rifle, my shotgun are two-handed, right? So I replace that out. If you're wielding rifle, shotgun, blunderbuss, whatever, right, hand cannon, you can reroll, las guns, you can reroll ones and twos. I like that. So with that, I mean, that and Second Wind, I think Second Wind is such a classic fighter one. It's great because you're here for the duration, right? And for Roland, I mean, I'm thinking it's the gunslinging one. It's the archery one. He just gets a +2, right? I mean, he's just really great. Or the two weapon.
Ooh, I mean
+2 is pretty good.
It's solid, right?
You know, yes.
Or I'm firing both hands, you know? It's one of those.
In my notes, I kind of threw the plus two back later into the class because the initial damage is so high.
Well, with the archery fighting style, which is our gunslinging, that's mm-hmm. just for the attack roll, right? Not the damage roll. So you're just better at hitting him, right? I think that's
no, archery plus two damage.
But I'm saying the fighting style that he's created is this weapon specialist where you get to reroll ones on that.
Instead of
archery or defense or anything like that, that is one of the fighting styles to be a specialist on a particular weapon and be able to reroll ones.
I like that too. What do you Tony?
I mean, there's a lot of ways you could proceed. The thing is, we're looking for is, and Garrison, I came up with the first draft is, I think we're narrowing in on flavor, and that's what's really the most important thing here than the mechanic.
Yeah. Okay. So, let's just say he is he's a specialist with revolvers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say fighting style. We're going to call it weapon specialist right now. I like that. One other thing that might be fun, that this harkens back to some of what I was talking about a couple episodes ago, but really making ones and 20s really count, right? But like the critical failure is the misfire, right? And not a misfire like I shoot somebody wrong, but a misfire like that's a dud round, right? So like those, and maybe as a weapon specialist.
Like your gun jams.
Right, but as a weapon specialist, you really know how to keep that weapon. So, you know, you roll a one as a weapon specialist, it doesn't hit the target, but it's also maybe not a misfire. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I would certainly be more apt to that than you accidentally shoot your buddy in the face, which was
No. I really like the idea of like gun jams and stuff and making like a critical miss, not just a miss, but like, oh, something has now changed the flow of battle. You know, I think that's fun. But okay. So your weapon specialist, maybe, ignore misfires. And he rerolls one damages.
Rerolls any ones.
Reroll damage of one. Yeah, I like that. Because it's still like if I'm a rifleman and I take great weapon, I still do have advantage because now I reroll ones and twos instead, which is even a little nicer, right? Or ones and threes, who the hell knows? I mean, there's going to be dealing such damage that like whatever, like just, you know, we could get to that when we build a rifleman, you know.
I can't wait to hear someone make the argument. I want to dual wield rifles. It's happening. I can feel it.
No, because it's a two handed weapon. So just like I can't like do like great axes, two of them, you know, unless maybe I'm like King Snur or something, the fire giant, right? He can reroll them. All right. Well, like that's our first level. Oh well, no. And he's got a revolver, right?
Correct.
He has a revolver.
Yeah, I think that's where we went for the two revolvers instead of the rifle, since he's a pistolman.
Okay, so we went with revolver, and he has two of them. He's not dual-wielding them, but he does have two, so he has just more. He doesn't have to reload as often, right?
It's just like when you get the extra equipment, and you always have like a longbow.
A little
extra. In addition to everything else you have or something, so.
All right.
Someone asked a touchy question before we get
into it. Real quick, so he is rolling with a plus five attack bonus. And Tony, what would the damage be on the revolver? I know you had that there.
It is 2d8. Your range is 40 and 120, and they typically have six shots, which brings me to the touchy thing I was bringing up.
2d8 plus 3. Oh, my God. You could just annihilate somebody with a good shot.
Right?
Yeah.
But how many rounds are we sitting this guy at with the standard package?
Six. He has two revolvers. That means he's got 12 shots until he has to reload. And reloading for me, unless we get into feats, is like one round is reload.
No, he means how much ammunition are we starting him out
with? Oh, like how much does he leave?
Basically, every six shots, I have to spend a round reloading or take the reload action on my things. But yeah, like like a box of 20. You wouldn't want to get too much because you'd want that to be a measurable resource because it keeps you from literally plugging everybody, right? Like it takes the murder hobos down a little bit.
Yeah. Know? So Tony, what comes in the Frontier pack? How many? Because I mean, we have a quiver of 20 arrows. So do we have a box of 20 shells?
20 to 24, I'm thinking.
Let's say let's say 24 because that's even between that's two loadings of both revolvers. If you have a box of 24 bullets,
and maybe rifles or shotgun shells are less in a pack. There might be more like 10 or 15 because
they're blowing out
sizably.
12D. They're just fireball. They're just 5D8 damage. Yeah. All right. So 24 bullets. I love that. All right. At that point, I want to say that is a level 1 fighter. Gunslinger. So let's roll them up to level 2 now. Mm-hmm. So right off the bat, we'll take our average hit points. So he started with 13. So now he'll have another 9. So that will give him 23, which is solid. He might be able to take one shot at level 2, unless it's like max damage of a fucking blunderbuss or something. Nothing else. His action surge, I like that. I think that's a solid one. You just can do one extra thing, yeah.
So I was going to turn that over into something called Gunsmoke, where this has got to be strictly a shoot. You're using a shooting attack action, and that basically is going to have a little bit of a twist to it, where for this attack, I was going to allow a +2 to that attack. And or when attacking a target at long range, they would no longer have this advantage. This is kind of like tapping into the whole Red Dead Redemption Deadeye kind of thing, where everything kind of slows down. He has that moment to take that shot.
Okay. All right. So, and also, like, he gets the maybe the so you get a +2 to the attack?
If it's a normal range.
Normal range. Mm-hmm. If it's out of range.
Not out of range, just at long range.
Okay. And then what is the other?
It disadvantage.
Yes.
Okay, so if he's at long range, it doesn't have disadvantage. Okay, yeah, he takes the breath, steals himself, and bop. Yeah, I like that. What if, because you called it Gunsmoke, first thing I'm thinking. So with Action Surge, I can do one more thing, right? I could take the attack action. I could take the this. What if you could take that, so you get the Deadeye, right? Mm-hmm. So your Gunsmoke is
either... Don't sue us, Rockstar.
Is either... so Gunsmoke, the action surge in ours, is you can take an additional attack, and it's not at disadvantage. You can just... And it's at a +2, right? Across. Or the Gunsmoke, because if guns are going off, it's harder to see... So anyone attacking you at that point has disadvantage on the roll, right? They can't see you as well because all this gun smoke's in the air. I mean, it's kind of a literal interpretation, but it just gives one, like, you could do this or that. Thoughts?
Okay. Well, are we going to still have the idea of an action surge? Is this going to be in addition to it, or would this take the place where it's no longer I get an additional action, but I can... steal, like, I can take my time and get a good shot.
How about it's all of these things. So starting at second level, you push yourself beyond your normal limits on a moment, right? On your turn, you take one additional action. That can be, you know, I can move, I can disengage, I can dodge, or I could take Deadeye, or I could take Gunsmoke, right? Like, it just adds to the action surge. It gives the fighter additional things to possibly do with their extra thing.
I like where you're going with that. My only question is, how would that be different than the full doing like that as a dodge action? Dodge is you'd be getting disadvantaged on big attacks.
Yeah. So that doesn't really, like, the dodge is in essence like Gunsmoke, right? And like, but the additional action could be like the Deadeye, where it doesn't have disadvantage, or the +2 thing, that type of stuff.
Maybe that stuff is you can take an additional action, or you can choose to Deadeye, and that takes both your action and your additional action. So you don't make the Deadeye superpowered, but I can either choose to try to shoot again, or I can decide to Deadeye this round, the Gunsmoke or whatever like that, and I'm going to get a +2 on this and stuff like that. I won't get my additional action, but I'm choosing between that versus doing something else.
Oh.
Right. So you say, like, you either can take an additional action, or
especially,
you can get a +2 to your attack, or you can attack long range without disadvantage. But
I like that, because let's say instead of weapon specialist, Roland had taken the gunslinger feat, right? So he gets a +2 to all his attack rolls. That means if he decides to take Deadeye, he's getting that +4 to that one shot, right? So that really makes it powerful. But he could also then decide to instead take just a normal action.
So if it's going to be where, I mean, that's actually pretty cool. But if we're going to say, like, that is my only action I'm taking in this round,
yeah,
then I would say long range is no longer at disadvantage. And that segues into, I'd make that attack at full advantage.
Instead of doing pluses, you just have advantage.
I would say, if you want to say that, kill the +2.
I like that.
You can either make one attack at advantage, or you can make two attacks or two actions, right? You know.
Yeah. Right. It's a So you can either do normal action surge
or you
get advantage. And it's always more fun to roll two dice. I would rather roll two dice than get additional pluses.
Because you can always roll three, and that doesn't.
Okay, so I love the actions, the action surge, and then we'll just add Deadeye to the list of what you could possibly decide on. I dig that. That's flavor. That's pretty much all that you're doing at level two. And now, so let's roll him up again. So we got 9 more. So that's now going to be, he has 32 hit points. Solid. That he could last. He could take one to the leg and still be firing. Martial archetypes. So third level, and that's why we're going to kind of end on this. What are some ideas? Let's at least just get some ideas. We're probably not going to nail them down, but let's get some ideas on the subclass of a classic gunslinging fighter.
So I kind of went two different directions on this. One was a further commitment on your weapon type. For example, this is where you'd get an expert rating on your pistol or revolver. You're like a sharpshooter with your rifle, or you're like a room reaper, so to speak, with your shotgun. Or we could then dip you into like these subclasses like Peacekeeper, Outlaw, Bounty Hunter. Like, that's like you're good, you're bad.
I really am excited about what those three, what you're like envisioning with those three. Those, because I love the names. I think that's super fun. Break that out a little bit. Peacekeeper, Outlaw, Bounty Hunter.
Well, that basically is going to be like, if you've got your lawmen, maybe you've got some characters that are sheriffs, but they're not necessarily in bed with the conglomerates. You're a Wild West, so to speak, knight without being in full plate with the longsword, so to speak. Then you've got your outlaw, which is pretty self-explanatory. Your bounty hunter, well, this is your D&D mercenary. This is what you do. You go hunt them down. In terms of abilities, generically speaking, somewhere around there, I was thinking about removing the penalty for point blank fighting. So
actually, Tony, that's a really good point to bring up overall in this world, because firearms, like I get with a bow, right? I understand with a crossbow or a longbow that you have disadvantage because you're right up on them. Like I can't be pulling back the thing, right? A revolver literally works the best at point blank.
Right. I can shoot you with my glasses off.
Right. So I feel like that is actually a big change just mechanically in terms of if you're rolling with firearms, if I'm right up on you, if anything, I have advantage, like, you know, just right off the bat.
I feel we need to kind of flesh that out. I feel like
the concept isn't that you're holding the gun on them. The concept is you're trying to shoot somebody and they're right up on you. So, yeah, I mean, if the gun hits them at point blank, their thing. But shooting somebody when you're literally all up on them is difficult. Would be difficult to actually get an accurate shot off. I think that's the disadvantage is.
Okay, okay. Chris, like that, because it's like I'm in fisticuffs with him. He's gonna be they're gonna be trying to pull it away from me. It would be hard to get a good shot off on you,
right?
If they're just sitting there and they're incapacitated and I roll up, then boom, obviously I have advantage. But okay, yeah. Okay, that does. So, Tony, back to what you were saying, then it still works. Then, so we take away that you're right. You're a dead shot. Like, if I'm shooting from the hip, you're probably dead.
And right? I kind of wanted to throw out there at this point, maybe throw in something minor, like an additional critical die.
Oh, Jesus, that's a.
I think if you take the idea of your weapon expert, those could be increasing abilities that you get, right? You get it, you get one at third level, you're going to get something at sixth or seventh level, right? You're going to get something at sort of tenth level, right? Additional damage dies.
But some of the other ones,
like stuff like Frontiersman or Bounty Hunter, I think you could take the idea of the Eldritch Knight, right? Is that a fighter that chooses to want to start to use tech and stuff like that? You could have something like that. I was trying to think of a name of something like that. It'd be like an adventurer or something like that. Somebody who goes out into it would be kind of like the bounty hunter, but more like a treasure hunter kind of idea there. Mm-hmm. Where you could start to leverage abilities, they could start to cast spells or other things like that versus getting additional damage dice, right? Maybe they choose to kind of go that way, kind of lean a little bit into the existing archetypes that are out there.
Right. Chris, I'm right there with you. Okay. So I'm going to mix these together with what Tony was saying. So we have your classic martial archetypes are Champion, Battlemaster, Eldritch Knight. Tony, you had Peacekeeper, Outlaw, Bounty Hunter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I'm thinking that the Outlaw, by their very nature, they're probably out more in the wastes. They're that type of thing, right? They're kind of doing their own thing. So that could fall under the Eldritch Knight kind of path. They might already have access to some tech and stuff. So they're coming in as a magical, quote unquote, gunslinger, right? Your bounty hunter is Boba Fett. You're sent out there to take them down. So that's your battle master. That's where you get to have your superiority things. You have certain maneuvers. You can shoot a gun out of somebody's hand. Han can shoot first, that type of thing, right? And then your lawman is your classic, like, champion, right? It's like, you have a better shot than most people, and maybe some additional things in terms of being, like, the peacekeeper, as it were, right? I think that those can fit. We could reskin the existing archetypes into some of that. Thoughts?
I think there's one or two ways we go with that, and I think that could potentially be a good way. Throughout this, though, I kind of wanted to, with this Boomtown Gunslinger, I wanted them to. This shows the culmination of, like, you started out as a greenhorn, dare I say, and by the time you're level 11, you've survived dozens of gunfights, duels. You're like a fencing specialist, like Olympic specialist with that weapon.
Yeah.
You're not going to pick up a chainsaw and fight. You're not going to get any kind of bonuses with that. Maybe you could, but.
Yeah, but those archetypes and subclasses build on themselves, just like the normal archetypes do, right? So you start, I think we could easily fit it into some of the existing stuff, Chris, like you said, like Battlemaster and Eldritch Knight and like Champion. We could probably adjust the champion thing a little bit, but who knows? We'll see. I think we could easily reskin that into this concept that, like, you're really taking a path that you're becoming better at that thing, right? I mean, I'm literally just saying what archetypes are.
It's like that one, it's the one Pat Kensai or whatever like that, where you focus on the sword fighting. Is it the rogue or something like that? I'm trying to think what it was, but it's where you're focused on a specific weapon. Because you could do that with the champion. Right now you get like the critical on a 19 or 20, but we also had that where we were raising the floor where you could reroll ones and stuff like that. So you could leverage that and you just tweak the flavor a little bit, right? I mean, you're a Wild West champion. You're a lawman. So
it's about that time, because it really is. This has been an extra special long episode of Three Wise DMs. And that is our Christmas gift to you, since you guys will probably be listening to this right before our holiday season, before we take a little bit of a break till the new year. But let's go to some final thoughts. And now that we've kind of broken this out, let's get some final thoughts on overall where we are with this. But two, where is Roland taking this?
Well, I would think that, I mean, from my limited understanding of the Dark Towers and that character, I would think he would be more of a peacekeeper, perhaps. I don't really know. He also had guns that were made from the fragments of Excalibur. Don't get me started on that. Some pretty good stuff there. But I think we got some really good flavors here with all the aspects down from his armor, his starting equipment, the weapons. Like I said, I really, as this goes forward, I really want to really differentiate between like pistols, revolvers, rifles, shotguns. They have to be really, truly different, minus like a damage die here or there and the advantages of using them. As we're building this gunslinger out, and if he is falling into the subclass archetypes as 5e traditionally does, we have to kind of spread that out so he doesn't become overpowered. And it's like, you get all this crazy cool shit, and by the way, now you have battle maneuvers too, because then he would be really like all over the place. Awesome. But it's a work in progress.
Yeah, no, and I think this is a good exercise in that it's like, what we're doing is we're not literally trying to build it from a blank page or anything like that, right? We just took what was the existing fighter class and kind of going through it systematically, mainly Tony going through it systematically there and really like going crazy and sketching it all out, but still taking it from a place that we all know and we know that works. I think obviously there's probably some play testing involved, especially with some of our damage changes and stuff like that with and our leather armor and revolvers world, where you probably want to roll up two or three characters to bring the Boomtown. But I think this is a very good example of how it's a good way to build out a class for your made-up world. Your new homebrew world is by taking what's there, just like we did where we're building off of something that's existing. The same thing here. So,
well said, Chris. We're not starting from whole cloth, right? We're building off of a system that we know very, very well, and that most people know very, very well. So we can kind of use this language to get to some of the deeper stuff. I will say, though, I'm either thinking that Roland would go whatever we might call the battle master type thing, which for me, I agree with you, Tony, where it's could be a problem damage dealing wise, but not a problem with trick shot wise. And that might be where it's kind of fun.
We do need to have those.
Right, trip attacks, disarming attacks, things like that, that I think is totally doable without, and then also drop another D8 on 2D8 on top of that, you know, instead of just these thunderous shots, right? But more of like, I'm just really, I think my way through a battle and I'm using my environment to do so. It's either that or like our Eldritch Knight path, because Roland had some level of like magicalness, right? So like, I like that idea of the Eldritch Knight, because it's somebody who comes in already kind of knowing about some of the tech, you know, and then their weapon is they're discovering it as their spell slots increase. And that kind of, I think that might be a fun way too, right?
For your idea, right? I'm just going to throw this out here. Like the leather duster is an idea, but what if we did like a form of unarmed defense that was like intelligence and dex?
Mm-mm. So that you're just even
there it is.
Yeah, you're smarter. You're smarter.
Like a blade, or like a blade singing kind of vibe, where you're increasing your AC by doing a fancy dance.
Yeah. Okay. So I really think that we hit on this stuff pretty well with this, especially starting with the fighter. And our plan, guys, like I said, starting in the new year, because we will be taking a long winter's nap. You know, go back and listen to some of the old episodes if you get withdrawal from the Three Wise DMs. But I feel like you could probably go without hearing us jaw on about stuff for a week or two.
But please ask questions.
Yeah, but throw it out there, right? But we're planning, hopefully, to maybe do this to just get a sense of Boomtown, do this for the four classic classes in D&D. So fighter, wizard, rogue, or thief, and cleric. And we think that'll give us a better understanding of how this world is as we build it out, getting closer and closer towards having you guys play adventures in it, having us play adventures in it. So this has been great. Thank you again, guys, for listening all year. We're going to be going into our sixth year next year. So thank you again for coming along with us. We wish you all a very happy holiday, Merry Christmas, a happy Hanukkah, whatever you might be or might not be celebrating. I think we all celebrate New Year's, so happy New Year to you. Mm-hmm. And remember,
Festivus.
If you order, I think by the 19th, which this episode will have already dropped, so I'm sorry, you might not get them in time, but they are shipping out from FanRoll Dice. And if I think if you order by the 19th, I want to say that they're going to be able to yell at me. You might get them before Christmas. So go to fanrolldice.com/REF/2871. Put in the code 3WISEDMS10. That's the number 3. WISEDMS, the number 10. You get 10% off your holiday order. That's, I'm sure, on top of whatever holiday deals they might be running. So, as you just said, Chris and Tony, send in your questions, though. We are DMs with problems. We like to help DMs with problems. So if you're having problems, let us know. Right? Just write into us. You can reach us at 3wisedms.com. You can get us at 3wisedms@gmail.com. And obviously Facebook and Instagram. We are very active on all of those sites. That will be it for us this episode and this year. And we will all see you again in 2026. And as we do each episode, we are going to let our dear old erstwhile leader take us out.
And thank you to all of you listening from home. We really appreciate it. If you like what you've been listening to, please smash that 5-star rating button. Let us know. Leave a good review. Tell your friends. That really helps us grow. If you'd like to hear us answer any question you have, send it to us at 3wisedms@gmail.com or go to our website, 3wisedms.com, and enter it in the What's Your Problem field. Or you can talk to us on Facebook, Instagram. We're active on all those platforms, so feel free to drop by, send us a question, and we'll see if we can make it on the show. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time. 3 Wise Deals.